Hi, everybody. It's time for Truth About Markets at Residence 104.4. Ho, ho, ho. In London. Yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah.
So Trump is still president?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. That makes sense. I mean, there was no coup. I guess the CIA is trying to, they're leaking all kinds of information, the FBI, and they're trying to undermine his presidency, and there's a big war going on, and he's flip-flopping on all of his issues, everything he, you know, I think he's now stated everything he said prior to the election. Pretty much he's reversed himself on just about every single issue, I would say.
Yeah. Well, his interesting manner of, leading is apparently very similar to how he ran companies, which is he says two things every single time. He'll say, for example, when he spoke to CPAC, I saw people saying, he just said that we're going to get rid of all the regulation, no more regulation. And then within a minute, he was talking about some regulations he was going to impose. Mm-hmm. So he always says what everybody in the room thinks they want to hear, and they all go away satisfied that they've heard what they want to be told.
I like somebody made the comment that when he's reading stuff off the teleprompter, it's like he's seeing it for the very first time. So then he'll add something like, yeah, that's right. That sounds good. Like he'll read something and then he'll say, that's right. Yeah, that's good. Like he's not even prepping, to read stuff before it just appears on the teleprompter, which is even, I think, worse than the criticism of Obama that he never, did anything, any speech without a teleprompter. I think he may have read what was the content or knew what the content was to some degree. I don't think it appears as though Trump actually knows what the content is. But in the UK, though, of course, there's an enormous anti-Trump sentiment. And in France, there's a petition to try to get Obama to run for president because they're afraid of the far right becoming the president. In the UK, of course, it's failure to recognize some domestic issues. It's always easier to focus on what's happening in the United States. I'm sure on Newsnight and BBC and these other shows, it's all about Trump, Trump, Trump. And, it's a convenient distraction from the problems there. Yeah.
Yeah. Max ran out of steam there on that thought. And so Trump, however, here's a headline, and it's pretty frightening, I think. Dow Jones Industrial Average is on the brink of history after a 10th straight day with a record high closing. Thursday marked the 10th day in a row that the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at a record high. The stock market index hasn't had such a streak since 1987. Experts have attributed the boom to Trump's administration, but caution that it likely won't last. What do you think about this? You were on Wall Street in 1987?
Right. Well, yeah, market's trading at all-time highs. It looks very pricey. Of course, it was at around 15 or 16,000. Then you had the financial crisis of 2008, traded down to around 9,000 on the Dow. And many, many people were saying, it's over, get out, the end of the world is here. And a lot of people sold out. A lot of people liquidated their portfolios. So since that time, it's gone from 9,000 up to the old highs of 15 to 16,000, and then up to now 20,000, 21,000. So there's a lot of froth in these markets for sure. They're thinking that Trump's coming in with a big tax cut. Maybe not. He's definitely going to get away with a lot of bank regulation. That should give them the ability to think. But look, the market is floating on a huge amount of capital, and this capital comes from two primary sources. Number one, keeping interest rates near 0%, so savers are not being paid the amount of money that they would normally without this type of manipulation. Two, wages. Wages have been kept artificially cheap for decades and not keeping up with the actual state of inflation. And then three, I guess there's a third one, and that is the periodic collapse of governments by Wall Street to loot them. I guess the biggest one recently has been Greece. It's just been looted for the capital to keep these huge price prices going. So the question is, will those three things be available to keep things moving forward? Well, governments around the world continue to cut rates, so that's still in place. Number two, you have wages. There's no pressure for wages to go up, really, in any meaningful way, because you still have it being outsourced globally. And three, our countries, Venezuela is being looted, Greece is being looted, France and Italy, looks like either France or Italy will collapse and get looted. So I don't see a change in any of the primary reasons why you have this move up. Remember, it's not based on earnings. Corporate earnings are actually going down. Mm. And if you factor in stock repurchases, they're down a lot. So it's not earnings that are driving the prices higher. It's this transfer of capital from these other huge pools to the market. I think in America, 80% of the stocks that are owned by less than 20% of the population. You know, so there's this huge inequality that keeps gapping wider and wider. And but I don't see, I don't see anything changing on that front. I mean, not really.
I saw an interesting chart yesterday. Somebody was looking at whether or not one should invest in the market. And right now, the market is priced at about 25 times forward earnings. And their data going back like 100 years shows that at 20 times forward earnings, the average return, it takes 22 years before you actually start to make more than putting your money under the mattress on average. So there's not much, if you're already priced in like boom times for the next 20 years, then it's unlikely that you're going to make that money back. Of course, back in 1987, you had just come off a 20-year bear market. Interest rates were up at, were falling from 20%. We have now interest rates at zero. We also have the consumer completely, household debt is much higher than 1987. Very few people in America even had credit cards back in the 80s, in the early 80s. So you still had a lot of, leverage to pile on to the market in 1987. So it seems like it's a pretty terrifying time at the moment, because especially that it is going on to like a parabolic right now on top of a presidency that doesn't seem to know what they're doing. So Lord knows what they'll do when it all crashes down.
Well, if you look at, the average, let's say somebody has, they're getting 0.5% on their investments in a cash account or a short-term bond account. That means they're going to double their money every 140 years. Warren Buffett, who's compounding money at 23% annually, means he's doubling his money every 3.5 years. Yeah. I mean, that's... Now, is Warren Buffett, when Trump won, he bought $12 billion worth of stocks. He and his partner in Brazil just made a $140 billion offer for Unilever. They have hundreds of billions of dollars in cash. Apple Computer has hundreds of billions of dollars in cash. There's trillions of dollars sitting on the sidelines, no place to go, looking for investments. So the valuations, price-earnings ratio and these things, in the case of price earnings ratio, it's price over earnings, and earnings, as we know, is a number that is something that is created by the big four accounting firms, and you can make earnings say whatever you want them to say. Amazon, they didn't have any earnings for 15, 16, 17 years. They just recently started reporting earnings, but the stock, went from $10 to it's close to $800. So earnings don't necessarily, it is something to look at. That doesn't necessarily say anything, really. But I was trying to focus on these other sources of capital to keep the Ponzi scheme going. Clearly, they want the markets to keep going higher because Snapchat is going to go public. They're looking at it like an $18 or $19 billion deal. I just read that it's oversubscribed at the moment, which would indicate that it'll open with a it'll come out at $12 or $16 a share, and it'll open at 20 or 22 and then trade to 30, and it could be worth $40 billion on the first day of trading, and, you know, this type of thing. So they have to keep that all rolling along, you know, but I don't see any change in the interruption of, it's like, I mean, if you look at the ecology, not the economy for a second, the ecology, you could say, well, the oceans are choking. You know, they're running out of oxygen due to acidification. The arable land that's available for farming is decreasing rapidly due to desertification and overuse of phosphates and fertilizers. Air available for breathing is shrinking due to air pollution and particulates and these types of things. And the trends are overwhelming toward loss of habitat for humans. But is there a single initiative in place that's going to reverse that? No, not at all. So you could say all day long that, wait a minute, this is going to cause premature human extinction. And of course it will, but it's not going to change. It's just the momentum, the inertia is overwhelming.
And then the other big story that's been happening in the U.S. this past week or two is these town hall meetings that, you know, Congress people have with their constituents when, you know, during break. And a lot of Democrats have been showing up and protesting about Obamacare because the Republicans plan on repealing it, they say. So, for example, in Nebraska, there were about 80% of the people in the room were Democrats. Nebraska, of course, always votes Republican. So they did show up to this Republican congressperson's town hall and protest. What are you going to do? You're going to cut Obamacare, which to me, this seems just utterly bizarre, because if any European saw what Obamacare is, it is the state forcing you to buy a multinational's product. It's not Medicare for all. Medicare for all. In the U.S., Medicare is insurance, but it's insurance provided by the government. So it's not anything remotely similar to what Europe has. It is you have to go to usually just the one, maybe two insurance providers in your area, and you have to make a choice. You have to give money to either Aetna or United Health or Blue Cross Blue Shield or whichever company, you know, services your area. By the way, United Healthcare is the biggest in the U.S. The CEO last year made $66 million. He was the highest paid of the insurance execs. I think the lowest paid was Blue Cross Blue Shield. He made $15 million, that CEO. So, and I believe Blue Cross Blue Shield is actually a nonprofit, they call it. So here we have the left wing in America out there agitating to maintain this system. And of course, what it comes down to, however, is that those saying they want to maintain the system do get taxpayer relief, i.e. the taxpayer basically pays their premiums. We pay $1,800 a month. Ours is unsubsidized. But they are, you know, people who don't earn more than, say, $40,000 a year, the taxpayer, i.e. those making over $40,000 a year, pay for that as well. So they want to maintain the system that the premiums go up by 20 to 45, 50, even 100% every single year. And they're out there fighting for this in such a bizarre way. It's like, you know, it seems so bizarre that the left wing is arguing for the system that doesn't make it. It was written by the Heritage Foundation, which is one of the most right wing think tanks in America. The actual policy was written back in the 80s. So what do you think about this whole Obamacare debate?
Well, remember, you know, as early as 5 years ago or 4 years ago, there were these stories about how Doctors Without Borders mm-hmm. were in America mm-hmm. and going to the Appalachian states, the poor states, poverty-stricken areas of America, providing health care and dental care for pockets of extreme poverty. Mm-hmm. And there are millions or millions of people who have no access to health care whatsoever. And it's the number one cause of bankruptcy in America was medical bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. So then Obamacare comes along and millions of people, and if you have a pre-existing condition, doesn't matter. Suddenly, you go to the doctor for the first time in decades, for the first time in your life in America.
Yeah.
You're getting medical care. You're getting dental care. Your entire quality of life radically changes. And you are part of the group that's being subsidized. You're not part of the group that is subsidizing this phenomenon. You're one of the millions of people who are getting this health care for the first time. So, then Trump comes along and they says, we're going to take this health care away. Now you're thinking, it was only a few years ago, I'm going to go back to having no teeth, having, stories of people with hernias hanging out of their, belt buckle, hanging over their belts because they couldn't get it treated. And it's just like a real war zone type health catastrophe. And they're out there protesting. Now, they just think, oh, I don't want to go back to the way it was 2 or 3 years ago. They're not thinking longer term than that, or the actual economics involved and how this is actually paid for, who's actually ripping off who. Mm. I mean, they're not thinking about that. And so that's my first point. The second point is that they have two major themes at these town halls. One is they want to hold on to their health care, mm-hmm. which I understand because for the reason I just gave. But there's a reason why it's foolish to do so, because it's an extraordinarily unbalanced, unsustainable, inequitable, corrupt system. But now the second thing that they're protesting is to investigate fully the Russian so-called interference with the election. So this is really on people's minds. And again, like the healthcare debate, if they were to think through a little bit, spend 5 minutes thinking about what they're saying there, they would very quickly understand that that is a complete waste of time.
Yeah, well, it's the conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories, by the way, I think the left wing, you have two teams here. You have basically Man United versus Leeds or something like that, or Man United versus Liverpool. It's the Democrats versus the Republicans, and they each kind of steal their own moves. And I think the Democrats look over at the Republicans and they see the prominent role that InfoWars and Alex Jones played in the elevation of Trump to presidency. There were reports by the likes of Tim Kast, Tim Pool, who went to, say, a dozen or two Trump events, and he said there were a lot of people in the crowds wearing InfoWars t-shirts. So I think, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow looks at that and she sees that this, insider like Hillary Clinton, her husband is a former president, she's a, former senator, former State Department. So she thought, everybody thought she was going to be in based on sound, rational conversation. And Rachel Maddow sees that that it's conspiracy theories, a conspiracy theorist who helped put Trump over the top, and Trump spouted all sorts of stuff. So I think the Democrats think that that will be the winning formula for them going forward. And they have been preaching, they claim to be very progressive and liberal, but at the heart of what they're doing is pure, unfiltered xenophobia. Because even during, everybody keeps on calling them McCarthyite, because of course, back in the 50s, we had Joseph McCarthy, who ran these witch hunts against various people in Hollywood, trying to out communists. He was saying all these communists were in the State Department, for example. He wasn't, if you read quotes of him or speeches, he didn't bang on about Russians. He said, communists, you have associations with communists, you're a commie. It was about the ideology he claimed they were supporting. Here now, it's just like, literally, if you have spoken to a Russian person, that makes you very suspicious. And if you think about it, here is America, which is the heart of, global capitalism, they say. Where do the billionaires put their money? the Russian billionaires, the Chinese billionaires, the Saudi billionaires, they all put it in New York City. Who operates in New York City? Trump. So he's going to have connection to Russian billionaires' money, Chinese billionaires' money, Saudi billionaires' money. But they're just targeting Russian, partly, as we said, because of the whole identity politics. Here you have a country which celebrates alpha male sort of thinking and acting and behaving. They like the alpha male, white alpha male thing. So I think that's the easiest to be outraged by. That is definitely an identity that one does not want in our new world. But it's outright xenophobia to just say, you know, ew, he's talking to Russians.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good point there, that the Democrats and the Rachel Maddows are looking over to the Alex Jones. They realize Alex Jones and his conspiracy theories are what got Trump elected. So, you know, Alex Jones had chemtrails and you know, Sandy Hook never happened. And, you know, some other juicy conspiracy theories. And so the Democrats and the Rachel Maddows are jumping on this Russian hack conspiracy theory, which has the same, you know, validity as saying that Sandy Hook never happened or some other pie in the sky conspiracy theory. But they're trying to see if that will help them get some Democrat elected. I'm going to sneeze.
You know, when a white kid goes into a school and with an AR-15 and kills 30 classmates, every time I go to Twitter and say, okay, countdown to the false flag conspiracy theory, they're going to say it's a white kid, they're just trying to take your guns, and it's a false flag, it's fake, it's not real. Now I do the same thing. Last week, the Russian ambassador to the UN, Churkin, died of a heart attack in public in his office at the UN. I said, okay, give it 10 seconds or so for the conspiracy theories to start flowing. And sure enough, the Rachel Maddow sort of people were saying, oh my God, this guy knew all about Trump. Trump must have killed him. Somebody killed him. This guy has been killed. He was about to turn 65 the day after. Russian men die very young, and they often die of heart attacks and drinking related issues. But the conspiracy theories started right away. This one woman, Sarah Kendazor, who's like prominently retweeted by the left wing conspiracy theorists, she immediately said that Churkin had recruited Trump in the 80s to the Soviet Union. And everybody, she got thousands of retweets from these prominent people.
Yeah. Well, Alex Jones, you know, as we've been following Alex Jones for 15 years, we always thought he was a force to be reckoned with, that he's a very talented and powerful guy. He's an excellent broadcaster, and he's a good newsman. We always thought that he was going places, you know, like, this guy's going places. And sure enough, he's like become the most trusted voice in American media. He's the new Walter Cronkite. So Rachel Maddow can only dream of that kind of influence. And now she's taken a page out of his book and come up with some pie-in-the-sky conspiracy theories. I mean, you know, there are, you know, the foreign minister of Russia, when challenged on this recently, pointed out the obvious fact that it was the Americans who hacked Merkel's phone. And actually, there's documented proof of a hack, and yet they seem to let that slide. Here, there's no proof, nothing, just smoke, and they're really going to town with it. And when you think about the various states who would potentially work to destabilize America, I mean, Russia's not even in the top of the list by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, China is interested in destabilizing the U.S., Middle East countries, Saudi Arabia.
How about the FBI or CIA or NSA or whoever's releasing all this information about Trump? As soon as he has a conversation with, say, the head of Australia or the leader of Mexico, within half an hour, the conversation has been leaked. So that's coming from the likes of the NSA. Right before he left office, Obama changed the law so that it used to be the NSA did all these wiretaps, they had all these conversations And they kept them to themselves. So you knew if it leaked, if the conversation leaked, that it was the NSA. However, 10 days before he left office, Obama changed it so that they had to share all of that with the 19 other intelligence agencies in America. So now it's impossible. You have to track. There are basically 2 million intelligence officers in America who have access to this information. So you're going to have to find which one of those leaked these conversations. But within half an hour, these conversations have been leaked. So what that is hacking. That is hacking the democracy any just as much if it were Putin.
Yeah, yeah, good point. I mean, there's just so much stuff happening domestically that's destabilizing the country, the economy, and the democracy. Well, let's see. So what's happening? Any exciting news coming up this week in our last 2 minutes? Let's see. We're in, wrapping up February, heading to March. I guess it's going to be St. Patrick's Day soon, and then the Augusta Golf Tournament. I always think that is the official start of spring, is the golf tournament in Augusta, Georgia, the most beautiful tournament of the year, in my opinion, the Masters. And Augusta, who will wear the green jacket this year?
Well, speaking of jackets, of course, a red jacket is often seen on Theresa May. And I saw, you know, speaking of the fake news and fake media, and they keep on getting it wrong. They got the 2016 election wrong. They got the Brexit vote wrong. They got those by-elections wrong. So all the headlines read that UKIP were going to win Stoke by-election by 10 points. Mm-hmm. All of the headlines said this sort of stuff. And of course, they were saying, with that, we need to get rid of Jeremy Corbyn. He's out of here. He's gone. And who won? Well, Labor won. So it was all fake. They keep on getting everything wrong. They genuinely have no idea what the people think anymore. And they're so divorced from the people that they've become useless as you know, a necessary column of democracy.
Well, meanwhile, you got a store like John Lewis, which is a big store. They're announcing store closures and massive layoffs due to the fall in the pound due to Brexit. So as we've said, Brexit is an economic disaster that's now unfolding before everyone's eyes. The UK economy will shrink by 25%. And, you know, imagine in the United States if North Dakota or Nebraska decided to drop out of the United States. And then their theory was they're going to cut trading deals with the other 49 states. Right? You'd say, that's really stupid. So here you have the UK, part of a block of 28 countries. They're going to say, we're going to drop out. We're going to cut separate deals with all these countries. And we're going to start doing it as soon as we pay a $60 billion exit fee. And we have to do it in 2 years, or the whole thing turns into nonsense anyway. And it's really starting to fall apart. But, you know, don't tell anybody in Britain. They'll get all, uppity.
And that's it for this episode from sunny, sunny, sunny America, where the temperatures all up the East Coast have been in the 80s. So something like 25 degrees Celsius or somewhere up there, really high. And, you guys had Storm Doris. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun to see those people get blown away by the wind in Newcastle or Hull or someplace. Just can't get enough of that. Well, anyway, it's time to say goodbye for this week. Until next time, bye, y'all.